This piece was brought to you by Roberta's, robertaspizza.com.
Hi, this is Joe Campanelli, the host of In the Drink. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Magic unicorn tears. I am not crying them. I am drinking them, but I will get to that in a moment. And the moment is now for HeritageRadioNetwork.org's Eating Disorder, broadcasting from Bushwick, Roberta's Pizza. Roberta's is the most progressive, food-forward restaurant I know that does not have a vegan option. And we'll
for
get
real?
To that.
Really? Guys, what's up?
Unbelievable. The Reverend is here, and he's outraged. He's befuddled.
I wouldn't say outraged. I would say
you might be
persnickened.
Persnickened in part because our guest tonight is hungry, and you can hear her there. I'm going to introduce her in a moment. She's a vegan. She's hungry. She enters the studio, the lovely repurposed shipping container studio, and there's a giant boar's head mounted to the wall, and then below it are seven dishes of meat, cheese, and meat byproducts and cheese byproducts.
But there is a plate of olives over there.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
I'm sorry. That's the best I can do.
And a half loaf of bread. Yes. Bread is vegan? Most bread? Vegan? All
most
bread?
Bread's vegan.
Most bread. All right. Okay. Yeah. Well, joining us is...
So I shouldn't have put the hot dog in the bread.
Joining us is the lovely and talented and also vegan, but a vegan with a vice, Hogan Gorman. Hogan, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
So... This is. I cannot think of a time I was happier that it was a Monday to come to the podcast because of the guest. I also was confused as if it was a Monday because I've been on a 3-day bender
eating
from
ribs.
Chicago eating ribs. Yes.
Let's hear this story.
I was in Chicago for Rib Fest, competitive eating, major league eating event, okay. And I'll start there. That wasn't the primary. I mean, that was the primary reason I was in Chicago, but the auxiliary reasons led to me sleeping 3 hours in about 52 hours. But I have never been in a competitive eating contest, and I've done. Maybe close to 500 in 14 years.
Really?
We had protesters. Now, we've had protesters before.
Protesters?
But we've never had protesters charge the stage during the eating contest. I believe Juan Morbite Rodriguez has a video that will probably go to YouTube. But at the 6-minute mark of a 10-minute eating contest, plates of ribs are being devoured. And all of a sudden in front of me are three people. Small guy, small girl, and a giant man with fake blood and signs over their head.
Oh.
And they're standing right in front of me. A little old Chicago biddy, like channeling the Blackhawks, just grabbed the girl right away. Get down from there, honey. Boom. Pulls her off. The other little guy, I think, fell off. But I grabbed the back of my protester. And I will say, if you're going to protest responsibly.
Yeah, but that...
Meaning have a website on your sign. I don't even know what these people were protesting. So I go to grab him. I go to shove him off because it seemed like eternity that he was up there in front of me. And I see below him is Nikki Mouth, a female competitive eater, sister of Juan Morbite, and her aunt. And I realize as I'm pushing him, he's just going to collapse on his people.
Oh, no.
So I pull him back. He bangs into the table, hits the ribs. I throw him to the left. An amateur competitor only known as the douche, but he's a very nice guy. Giant Arnold Schwarzenegger biceps. He's eating with one hand. He reaches out with the other. And all I see is like tricep and deltoid definition. And he just grabs the guy and throws him off.
It was a good issue of Heavy Metal magazine.
It was amazing. The guy's sign goes flying. The fake blood smears the banner. It's washed off, and then we kept eating. So that's how it just started. Like you can imagine the adrenaline and old style beer and ribs that are pumping through my body, and it just didn't stop.
I didn't know it was so brutal.
It was this was one of the most brutal. So I had to recover.
What were they protesting?
I believe it was a. Animal liberation. All animals should be liberated.
Do not claim them as my people.
No, I'm not. It wasn't the vegans. It was animal liberation. Although, did you see, like, that
what
zoo?
Does that
was
that mean?
Zoo?
animal liberation. Well, this
is Tanya here is asking a very important question. Our call-in guest, Tanya, I think like that zoo in Serbia, was it in Serbia? Somewhere a zoo got, all the animals got loose.
Georgia.
Tbilisi. Oh, my God. And that didn't work out. Those animals were free, so and other than the hippo, everybody got shot. Yeah. You know? So, Hogan, have you ever seen competitive eating? You know I am a competitive eater because we're friends.
But I am obsessed with it now after meeting you in Badlands.
Exactly. Badlands Booker.
And now are you doing the Nathan 4th of July thing as well?
I am. I will be there as Badlands as well. Badlands had to qualify early at Dover Speedway because John Morrell sponsors NASCAR. They're the new makers of the hot dog. And he had to qualify early because he had to go away in June for his 20th wedding anniversary to Paris. So it's kind of like that conversation, like, honey, what do you want to do for our 20th wedding anniversary? I want to go to Paris. Okay, I then need to go to a NASCAR event and eat a lot of hot dogs to free up that time. Beautiful man, Badlands Booker. So
he's my spirit animal.
Yes.
Oh.
And you know
him.
Badlands, and you know me in part because we did a web series.
We did.
That is not yet on the internet.
It's not, but hopefully it will be soon because it's funny as shit.
It is.
What is it?
It is called Basecamp.
Basecamp.
About
which was on at the 11th Street Bar.
We did a cast and crew screening.
We did a screening there.
That was we did a screening. It has two slacker mountaineers who never ascend the peak.
Basically, they're like Beavis and Butthead.
Yes.
Well, but I mean, to me, it sounds like
Gilligan's Island.
No, the two from SCTV.
Oh, Doug and Bob McKenzie?
Yes, all right. It sounds a little that way.
Ensler Brewery?
Does,
all right. Well, it's one is young, one is old. Chris Campion, the very talented Chris Campion.
He's hilarious.
Is phenomenal. Always makes me happy. I've been listening to his song Esteban off Watch the Gap, his new album. And then the very funny Jonesy, who's a young stand-up comic from Boston, who's played, among other things, he played a third Affleck brother on The Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt.
Really?
And he said filming Basecamp was more fun.
He did.
Yes. So there, and there's another connection there, obviously. But Hogan plays Sunflower, a hippie-ish fellow mountaineer who is absolutely mortified and disgusted by the idiocy.
But she tries to motivate them to actually get out and climb up the mountain. And she dresses to match her aura and color coordinates her bindies.
It's true.
Oh my God.
It was kind of fun.
You're like the Blair Witch, like insanity. Oh my God. It's so awful.
And Hogan,
oh my God.
Hogan also wrote an episode because we did the the thing that no one would ever do. Normally, you write a pilot, you shoot a pilot, and then you test it out. We basically had eight different writers and shot eight different pilots, eight episodes in 2 days.
But the pilots are short. The episodes are short.
I mean, this is radio. Folks, where do they find this stuff? Come on. Let's
Hopefully they're going to find it soon. Yes, we'll announce
the director and producer are pitching.
Chris Keneally and I. Chris, I had come up with the concept, so I'm a co-creator, but Keneally did all the work. Right. So I did 1%, he did 99%, but so his name will be above the title, my name will be very far below it. But Hogan not only wrote an episode, she was the improv specialist, I guess I would say.
And I'm the only chick in it, which I kind of
You're the only one in it.
Yes.
I like that. It was like me and the dudes.
Yes.
Really?
So 2 days in a tent inside
A giant loft.
It was beautiful.
Williamsburg.
That was supposed to be what, the Arctic or
supposed to be Basecamp.
Basecamp. Perhaps Everest, perhaps another tall mountain. But Naeem, our production designer, did a snow effect that was so amazing. Every time someone came in, Hogan mentioned Badlands. Badlands played Sherbert the Sherpa. For those who don't know, Rev is laughing because Badlands is a 400-pound black man.
Who's also a rapper.
Yes. So
Sherbert.
The Sherpa, yes. Okay. And he works at Kelly's. Kelly. I'm thinking Boston Kelly's.
Terry's
Roast Beef and Chicken, which has, if you can order it. If he doesn't deliver it in 45 minutes up and down the mountain, you get a free fountain soda. So it was a great experience, and I had a lot of fun, and that's how.
And hopefully we're going to do some more.
Yes, we would hope so.
I mean, it should be on Funny or Die.
I think so.
I think so.
I had met Hogan at a restaurant at a dinner where I remembered distinctly the Vietnamese beer I had, as opposed to remembering
me, which I'm not going to take personally.
Very attractive blonde sitting across from me.
Seriously, really?
Yeah. Well, I had a girlfriend at the time who was also blonde.
Okay, and
he did have a pretty hot girlfriend.
Yes, I did. That's why I need 3-day benders in Chicago, because I no longer have a very hot girlfriend. I would put it together vaguely because it was a friend of my former girlfriend's had a one-woman play, and Hogan had a one-woman play at the Fringe Festival, which not only was a play, but was the winning play. Is it, I guess, in sports terms?
I won the Best Actress Award at the Fringe.
Best Actress Award for a play that on its surface is almost a tough concept to wrap your head around. The title is Hot Cripple. And I remembered the postcard that had a very attractive willowy blonde's backside with some crutches, which was probably also Hogan.
Right now it is.
Right.
It
that's
is.
Actually you. You didn't get a thong butt double, did you? That's
no.
You.
Right. No, I didn't get a butt double. I wish. I wasn't. I didn't have enough money.
Oh, really?
So you did the play.
Theater.
You did the play. You won the play. You also then had it. You wrote a book.
I did. What happened was the New York Times mentioned it on the show on the front page, and publishers contacted me, and I was kind of an idiot. I'm like, yeah, not really. I just want to do my play again. Asshole. Uh-huh. And so then I put it up again with producers, like off Broadway, and I had left one of the publishers on the mass email. And so when I was doing the show, she came and she brought agents.
Oh, wow.
And said, I want to make this a book.
Yes.
All right, but let's
give the concept. So do you want me to pitch it, or you want to pitch it?
You can pitch it, and I'll interject if
you're
wrong.
Thank you. So in the life of a New York artist, you take on jobs to pay the rent.
Yep.
And one of them, Hogan, obviously a willowy, attractive, personable blonde, was a cocktail server. And in a world that she felt she didn't exactly belong with lifetime cocktail servers, sort of a Mean Girls-esque world, and heading to work one night at a swanky joint, was unfortunately, and 100% not her fault, hit by a car. And injured, seriously injured, but not, no brain damage.
I did have a brain injury.
Brain injury, yes.
Yeah.
But I guess what I'm saying is, for those who are very worried, Hogan is okay now. But
I
at the time,
okay now.
At the time, it did not seem like okay was the future. Yeah. And so Hot Cripple is her journey through the physical discomforts, through the mental discomforts, through the legal system, through the healthcare system, as if you were a female and more attractive Kafka in the trial.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Well,
it's funny. You have to say it's funny.
Oh,
it's really funny.
Andy Kaufman playing Franz Kafka in the trial as Hogan Gorman.
I got questions. Right. I mean, when it came down to it, I mean, did you have coverage at the time?
No, I didn't. I was uninsured.
You were uninsured. What did you do to be able to get
the health care that I needed? Okay, so what happened was I was, as Crazy Legs just said, I was hit by a car going 40 miles an hour, crossing. They were going the wrong way down a one-way street. My head took out the whole windshield. They slammed on the brakes,
was
and I went flying 10
feet. Was it a commercial car?
No,
it was
a privately owned car.
Really? Some douchebag.
Old white people.
Young white people.
What?
No, it was...
I read the book. Am I
two couples, and I left out the...
They
were driving a four-door black Mercedes.
Yes.
Oh,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
All right. I'm loving this.
My head takes out their entire windshield. They slam on the brakes, and I go flying 10 feet.
Oh.
I'm landing on the pavement. Luckily, I didn't lose consciousness, which is crazy, because they got out of the car and started yelling at me to stand up that I was hurt. Yeah.
Really?
Nice people.
The ambulance shows up. They couldn't even frickin' believe I was alive. They were like, you do know there's no way you should be alive. I mean,
clearly I was
in bad shape.
Yes.
They take me to the hospital and...
Didn't they ask... Weren't they asking various questions about...
They
if
were,
you were insured,
yeah.
Like, it was
when
kind
I got
of like,
to
as
the,
if you'd hailed a cab and you were trying to go to the Bronx, and
yeah,
they were like, mm,
"Yeah, we're not taking you."
Yeah, oh yeah, we don't go that
You're
way.
Poor.
Yeah.
what happened was they did something called wallet biopsying, which is quite common.
Okay.
You're in the emergency room. They ask you for your insurance information. When they find out you don't have insurance, sometimes, this is not all hospitals, but at the hospital I was at, and it does happen frequently, when they found out I didn't have insurance, they basically need to make sure that you're not going to die. And besides that, they really don't have to do that much for you. So I had to beg for a CAT scan in my head.
Meanwhile,
there's a man in the bed next to me that has insurance that has only had like too many Red Bulls and fainted during dinner.
Oh, and he's rushed up to CAT scan.
He's capped overnight. And I'm like, oh, really? Is this how it's going to go? Yeah. And it is how it went. And it is how it went for quite a few years after that.
Yeah. And so the physical recovery portion, the mental recovery portion, the loss of a job that you, that your coworkers, you know, for the first attempt were kind and pooled their money, but that money was went out very quickly. And then even worse was, for me, the part I was most outraged was the court case with a judge and a system that not only works against you, but is nefarious. The thing I found amazing is the opposing team against Hogan contacted the people who hit her in the car and claimed that she was a serial grifter, that she does this all the time, that she throws herself in front of cars and collects big payouts. So the
because this happened never.
Right. Because you always have your head to break a windshield so you can try to make some coin. And so
because I really wanted to be a stunt person.
The one witness witness who was on Hogan's side is hearing this and thinking, oh, yeah, screw her. If she's a grifter, if she does. So there's that. Paying money for lawyers, paying money to have a witness fly in, and then also a judge that was so uncaring. And interestingly enough, I've also read Bernie Kerik's book, and I didn't think I'd like it. He's the former police commissioner.
And a douche.
Fair enough, but he had the same, he had the same experience as Hogan with a judge who clearly was overstepping their bounds in that not even caring, not people's feelings. Judges don't care about, not even holding up decent time frames.
Was a douche. He
Fair
was.
Enough.
All right,
then take the guy who's been in Rikers for 7 years waiting for his hearing.
I mean, or
the
kid.
It's an amazing thing where a judge in Hogan, your case, the judge wanted to go, had to go to a funeral, so she took 2 weeks off.
She took 2 weeks off. Yeah. I mean, it was kind of crazy. She had no intention of trying to make haste.
She was basically just riding out the clock.
Before my case, it was like several months before she had been arrested on a DWI. I think a car accident.
Perhaps she should have been recluse.
No, but that's the whole fucking game. It's they when it comes down to look. All right, for somebody who has had a head injury, as you can see.
Right? Oh yeah, I didn't notice that. Actually, you wear it well.
Thank you so much. Yeah. Sexy, come on.
It is. Scars are sexy. I'm not gonna lie.
There you go. You know what's so funny? This sounds terrible, Hogan. We always talk about things we learn about each other. I've done 50 podcasts. And I've never known you had a head injury, Rev. I never even knew.
The head injury I got was done on North 11th Street, a block away from my home.
Yes.
Right. This is what happened. Basically, I had forgotten my phone. I just dropped my girl off to come to this show where she had with Mike Edison here. Yep. Right. So I was like, oh, I'll walk her over. It was a winter day. Right. And a piece of rock and ice busted my head open. On a building a block
was it
away from
falling from the roof.
Yeah,
obviously?
from North 11th Street in Roebling, where I used to live, right? And I got knocked the fuck out, right? And I have a big fucking star shaped fucking scar on my head. Okay, so what happened was, there was a witness, and this is what happened. This is how it happened. The witness was across the street, and he goes, "Holy shit!" And I looked at him. Rather than looking up. Thank God I didn't look up.
Okay, that's
But good. I looked at him, and I was like, holy shit, what? And then I was completely out.
Out. All
right. Right? Huh. Then, when I came to about 15 minutes later or whatever, right, I was on the street. Luckily, there was this wonderful couple, the Santanas, who were awesome people. I love them. One of them is a tattoo artist over at
So wait, the eyewitness didn't call 911?
No, they ambulance? Did. They did. Oh, okay. They'd already called. They'd already called the ambulance. Right? 20 minutes later, but the ambulance took a while. It did. It really did. Because what had happened was they were like, "Sir, are you okay?" And I'm like, is that all my blood?
Oh.
They go, yeah. Oh. I go, I'm not okay.
Right. Oh. I need that in my body.
Yeah. 100% recovery now?
No. But it gets even all better. Right. It gets even better. What happened was the ambulance picks me up. I'm completely delirious. And the only thing I could hear from the ambulance is like, where should we take him? Woodhull? The only thing I said was like, not Woodhull. Do not take me to Woodhull. They're like, okay. So they took me to the other hospital down, I think it's called Wyckoff.
Okay.
Down this way. And here in this studio was my girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, Screaming Along with Billy, the guy who does that.
Okay.
He was here with her, and he had his car. And so I call my girlfriend, who's doing her show, exactly like we're doing ours. Mm-hmm. And I go, what had happened was I had my head, you know, tied up, but it was a horror show in the emergency room.
Mm.
And there were so many people so hurt. And I didn't have my phone. So I'm like, can I use your phone? I'm like, all right, Judy, I got hurt and I'm at Wyckoff Hospital.
Which is the call everyone wants to hear.
No. But here's the thing. I'm Greek. You have to understand. I'm like, I'm okay. Just come get me, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Right. So you left.
No, and my girlfriend goes, oh my God, he's brain damaged.
Boom. Uh-huh.
Because I wasn't yelling. I wasn't losing my shit.
So clearly there it is. Something went wrong.
Well, you have had 100% recovery because I have never noticed that. Not once. So we've been talking with Hogan Gorman, Hot Cripple. We're going to take a short break. You know, your story was horrific. At least Hogan's is funny in the play and the book. And when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about Chicago and some of other Hogan's comedian and writing projects. We're on Heritage Radio Network. This is Eating Disorder. We'll be right back.
Roberta's, a super duper awesome place. Roberta's is a very, 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 very proud sponsor of the Heritage Radio Network. We're also super awesome. Thank you, Heritage.
Thank you. We are back with Eating Disorder with the multi-hyphenate Hogan Gorman, actress, writer, playwright. So we were talking about Hot Cripple at the top of the hour, but let's first reveal something.
You have to tell them where the title comes from, though.
Where Hot Cripple comes from?
Yeah. It's what somebody called me as I was, like, gimping down the street.
Yes.
I was in a neck brace, back brace, and a cane.
That's true.
And somebody said, man, that's so cool. It's not often that you see a Hot Cripple.
Yes.
And I was like, thank you.
The New York catcall.
Yeah, it was like a really weird moment.
Yes, and I don't know if cripple is the correct nomenclature there. But
let's talk about that. I mean,
I got to know, because she's done so much since then that we have to talk about that. But first, let's ask a few questions, because we teased it. Hogan is a vegan. How long have you been a vegan?
I've been a vegan since I was a teenager. And my mom said
I was...
My mom said I was the strangest frickin' kid because I would literally push my meat to the side and like focus on the carbs and and the vegetables a lot. I just kind of always. It's kind of always the way I've eaten.
Okay. Cheese, so mac and cheese, you would try to...
Cheese was the last thing to go, and I did it when I kept getting all these colds. Ah. And somebody's like, lay off the dairy, see if the congestion goes away. And I did it, and I was like,
Oh, the rev is scowling.
I'm
going to
have to let go of the cheese.
I'm not scowling.
You're not scowling?
I'm the most... My friend will tell you, like, I am the most I'm not anal at all about veganism. I'm not,
well,
like...
you're not a protest. You're not, yes.
No,
you're just doing it for your own life.
I don't preach it to other people. Yes. And I love to cook. And I have no problem with making meat for other people.
Okay.
So you're, I'm kind of the queen of the marinade.
You're like a sober bartender. You're
no,
like,
but that's,
yeah,
no,
I am.
That's how
I am like a sober bartender.
Our old co-host, Paul, still uses liquor in his dishes.
And he's a sober chef. Sure, but I think now a lot of vegans, some vegans do honey. Do you do honey?
I do honey, and I do. I mean, I do wear leather shoes. I tell everybody they're roadkill.
I didn't have a problem because I thought your one vice. I'm going to out you here.
Was smoking.
Smoking.
But I smoke American spirits. That's the healthy way to kill yourself. No, I mean, I don't pretend. I mean,
this is the vegan way.
I mean, I'm a total hypocrite.
I'm
going to
do it right now. Eric, can you hear it?
He's holding up a vaporizer. Do they have vaporizers in meat flavors, like hot dog and
that's
things?
It's really weird looking. I'm not going to lie. Your vaporizer
it's a robot dick, but you know what?
It does.
There's
it looks
no
like you're giving a blowjob to... Was it C-3PO or R2-D2?
Yes, that is an
robot
image.
Dick, it is, but there's nothing here.
I have to ask this question. So vaporizers have flavors. If it was a steak-flavored vaporizer, could a vegan smoke it?
Yeah, no. There's no animal.
There's no animal flavors?
No, I mean, it's basically like...
Well...
No, honestly, it's what they do is like chocolate, vanilla, strawberry, whatever. What a friend of mine is doing right now is doing ginger... ginseng.
Ooh, ginger would be good.
They're actually doing ginger.
That's
ginseng,
interesting because you know ginger is an expectorant.
Oh,
echinacea. They're doing all these kinds of
vaporizers.
Yeah, in other words, they're using herbs and you know.
Hogan, you said expectorant, like people look forward to taking it.
An
expectorant,
like
people look forward to getting it out.
Helps to get the toxins
out. For your lungs.
But it's also a good thinking. Ginger is a great way to
ginkgo biloba. That's what I go with. I rub it on my stomach.
But ginger helps you think. It does.
I'm sure that's really sexy.
Oh yeah.
It's a lot of it,
check
too.
Check me out on YouTube, Ginkgo Biloba, smartstomach.com. Entric, sexy entric brain. Well, that brings me up to a couple products that I don't know if they're vegan or not, but I'm going to bring them up. So my friends in Chicago own a place called Taco in a Bag. Gravy Brown and Pat Deep Dish Bertoletti, former competitive eaters, opened up a food truck, won a year's free lease on a show called Food Court Wars, but it was deep Chicago. It was like 45 minutes outside downtown. But for 7 weeks, they have been open, if I could remember anywhere I was. I was at 4603 North Lincoln Avenue in Chicago. TacoInABag.com. It is Pat Deep Dish Bertoletti's vision of interesting flavors that he puts together, meeting Gravy Brown's like R-rated John Hughes world. So they have.
I am
taco
so
thief.
Confused by that whole statement. I don't even know where to begin.
I'm going to ask. You're at the counter. You look for the. There's a sandwich called the Vegemite, which is going to be served chilled, vegetarian, gluten free. So let's see if it's vegan. Black bean and corn salsa. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's not, because pepper jack is a cheese, right? Avocado, jalapeno sauce, sriracha, romaine, fresh lime. So you, could you do it without the cheese?
Good without the cheese.
All right.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I don't really eat in... I don't really... Deco is the best vegan cheese. I'm not going to lie. Deco, it melts. It's...
Deco?
Sorry, I'm dyslexic. I can't fucking read anything.
This does not sound politically correct.
Deco?
D-A-I-Y-A.
Mom, I want to grill Deco.
It's the only one that melts. It's the only one that tastes good. You got to do it cooked. It's not like you're going to sit down and have a cool... relaxing,
vegan
cheese.
Deco? Yeah.
All right, but that's the best one.
All right, let's go back to this. What about Vegemite? See, I love
The Australian spread.
Yeah, I don't get that.
I love that.
I love it from the song,
but I also eat it. But now here's the thing: they do have magic unicorn tears, and there's an interesting YouTube video that the gravy has, which
magical
is drinkable.
Unicorn tears.
Magic unicorn. And I asked if those were vegan, and then their dessert, which I have in my hand but is slightly crushed, is unicorn poop. And it looked like a cow patty, but it's a unicorn patty in multicolored rainbow with multicolored sprinkles. And
is that Hillary Clinton's face?
No. And so it was amazing. It's an amazing dessert, but I don't think I can offer it to you because they are not sure
if it's vegan.
But do you think unicorns maintain a vegan diet?
No, but I do. I never progress past unicorns and fluffy clouds. I'm not going to lie.
All right, fair enough. So this is an amazing dessert. I'll probably blog about it. I'll post. I did bring fortune cookies. Are fortune cookies vegan?
Oh, my God. I love it. Can I read my fortune?
Yes, please.
I'm not going to eat it because I'm not sure if they are, but I'm just going to. Can we all read our fortunes?
Everybody open them up. We're going to open them up, and then we're going to find out what Hogan's been up to lately because you've been working with much more famous people than Chris Keneally and I. Although Keneally's pretty famous. All right, so I'm going to read mine first.
Go for it.
There is no greater gift than good health. Cherish it always. I believe this is a cautionary tale for saying do not do a 3-day bender in Chicago, taco in a bag, old-style beer, whiskey, and various illegal drugs.
Do you want to go next?
No, you go next.
The Rev's trying to put his reading glasses on.
Exactly.
You are primed to come up with the creative solution.
Wow.
Nice. I kind of like that one.
Yeah. And right, Rev?
And now that I've got my old man glasses on, to be able to look back upon one's life with satisfaction is to live twice. That's bullshit.
Why? You got hit in the head? You came back from the dead.
Fuck you.
All right. As we're rounding out our show here. Now, Hogan, you have some projects. You've been working a little bit with SNL, Saturday Night Live. True?
A little.
That's a little working for SNL for most people is like the greatest thing they've ever done in their professional life.
The greatest thing I've ever done is Basecamp.
Basecamp, yes. But you also did 5 weeks in a movie. Are we allowed to talk about that? Coming out during the holiday season? Am I allowed to say who you work with?
Not right now.
Oh! All I can say is there are... Can I just
Please
say...
Please tell me.
Don't guess.
Can you tell us it's CGI?
Say it's CGI. Can I say what gender they are?
Yes.
I would say two of the most talented females in the world Hogan has worked with. And I guess it's under wraps, but what you remember the name Hogan
Oprah
Gorman, as I am struggling to after the 3-day bender. Hogan, where can people get a hold of you so they will remember your name, so they'll see your successful projects?
I have a website, and it's hotcripple.com,
right.
Which is pretty easy to remember.
Yeah. You don't often see a hot cripple. What street were you walking on when you got catcalled?
I was on Lafayette, right, like near Astor.
Those are educated catcallers. Yeah, that's more upscale. Yeah.
Oh, no, no. Oh, the catcalling. No, the catcalling happened around. I used to live on the Lower East Side.
Oh, I forget it then.
Now I live in Bushwick.
Boom.
Oh.
Yes, you were.
Boom.
But
I was on the Lower East Side, and I was walking down Rivington, and there's this, like, punk venue where they have shows every weekend, and it was one of...
All right.
He had a purple mohawk.
Did you, like, shake your fist? You punks, you could barely lift it. You had a neck brace on and crutches.
I was so injured. I was just like, thanks, I think.
Oh.
It was horrifying.
And what, anything coming up you'd like to talk about?
I'm working on a few projects. I'm actually turning my book into a pilot.
Wow.
So
all right.
I think TV is really interesting to me because it's like theater with money and it's a really great medium.
Yes.
It's like theater with money. It's great for writers. Whereas film,
Well, film takes a lot longer.
It's a lot longer. It's hard to get financed. A lot of money. And directors got in film.
But now, see, once people see the pilot, where you live in a binge-watching culture, you're going to just have to make, like, 22 episodes of Hot Cripple right off the bat. Because I'm not just going
to
sit there for one. I'm like, I need more Hogan Gorman. So,
ready to go.
All right. So hotcripple.com, you've got a lot of things in the works. You cannot eat unicorn poop as a vegan, but we accept you and your veganism as long as you don't
charge the
stage on July 4th and try to throw my hot dogs.
I am not a protester.
Speaking of Nathan's hot dogs, and we discussed it, you know, I asked Randy Watts, the number 2 guy one time, I was like, how come there's not a vegetarian offer?
What about tofu dogs?
He was like, we tried to make it. It tasted terrible.
Really?
That's an interesting position to take. Like, not Upton Sinclair. I've been been to the Nathan's Factory in Chicago, it's like, wow, you know what?
I couldn't do it.
I guess, so as a, you know, as a vegan, you're like, I don't want to eat something that tastes terrible.
No, what, I mean, it's all about texture, too.
They could do a veggie burger. Veggie burgers are awesome.
I mean, they could do a burger,
but some veggie burgers suck. I got to tell you, the best veggie burgers I have found are the Marsala veggie burgers at Trader Joe's. Hands down, the best veggie burgers, like, store-bought.
Fairway, which I believe is a sponsor of the network. Hopefully they have
Marsala burgers. Okay, I like Fairway as well, especially the Fairway in Red Hook. It's like Mecca.
So tomorrow for lunch, I feel like a Marsala burger and some Daikou cheese.
And then I'll go to Fairway to get everything else.
Absolutely. Right? And anytime you're back in Bushwick, where you now live, please stop by Roberta's.
Yes.
And
even though they have nothing for me.
Nothing for you. Just come on Monday nights at 8 o'clock. Yeah, we're starting. I'm going to protest. I'm going to charge the pizza oven with a sign that has a website because I'm a responsible protester.
We actually are protesting.
We're protesting.
We are.
I need some energy. Can I eat some meat pizzas before we start this protest?
You can. Please do.
All right.
Have some herbs.
Anyway, it's been an amazing show. Thank you, Hogan.
Thank you for having me.
Of course, we're going to bring you back for the end of the season party. We hope to bring you back strip club, though. We're going
to
bring you back. We're going
to
do it at a tiki bar, right?
I think we're doing it.
With a whole suckling pig. Yeah. Is a whole suckling pig vegan?
No, but I think we are doing it at a tiki bar.
We will have a vegan option.
I'm going to go to Fairway and get my vegan option, and I'll BYOB.
Burgers with the Daco cheese. It's going to be ridiculous. We're going to have a trough of vegan options. Yep. But for eating disorder, my name is Crazy Legs Conti.
I am the Rev Spiro.
And we'll see you next
week.
Hogan
Gorman.
And that is Hogan Gorman. Vegan. With an attitude.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.